All right, Truck F 702.
Yeah. Great. We're recording.
Yep.
Good evening. I'd like to call the December 15th, 2020 Lower Frederick Township Board of Supervisors workshop meeting to order. Time is 7:02 p.m. Mark, do you want to give the standard announcement in terms of how people can participate?
Yep, you can use the option to raise your hand, which you'll find under the participants button. Just give me one second here. Forgot to get this. You can use the participant and raise your hands. You can use the chat feature. You can call the township building. I have that forwarded to my phone, or you can email me at manager@lowerfrederick.org.
Thank you, Mark. Executive sessions. You want to make the announcement? We had
one executive session in regards to real estate on December 15th, 2020.
Great. Thank you. Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance.
Yes.
To the flag of the United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty
and justice for all.
Great, thank you. Let the record reflect that the full board and staff, as listed in our agenda, are present at tonight's meeting. Announcements. So standard announcement is the township meetings are recorded for the purposes of preparing the minutes, and the recording is destroyed 6 months after the minutes are approved. This meeting is also being recorded by our provider, which happens to be Zoom. For residents who want to participate, when you do participate, we ask that you state your name and your address, and that way we can make sure that your information is accurately reflected in our minutes. The other announcement is a sad one. I'm sad to say that one of our residents, longtime resident Kathy Miller, passed away on December 2nd, 2020. For those of you who know Kathy, she was lived most of her life here. She was a Perky Omen Valley High School graduate. She was very involved in the environment and outdoor work, social working. She was a member of our park board. She was also a member of the Heidelberg United Church of Christ, where she was very active in volunteering in education. Her parents, Harold and Patricia Caswell. Some of you may remember Harold was a longtime supervisor here decades ago in Lower Frederick. The family has requested any memorial contributions be made in her name to the Breast Cancer Research Foundation, the World Wildlife Fund, or Mostly Mutts, M-U-T-T-Z. And I believe we will try to put her obituary on our website, or at least a link to it. And that way, those of you who are interested in knowing where to donate, I believe those things are spelled out in the obit.
Can I just add one thing, Chuck?
Sure.
We've had a lot of big uptick in cases in COVID in our township. And we've been very fortunate so far, but I did hear recently that we have had a resident who was in the hospital and was very ill from COVID. So, we hope everybody stays safe and stays healthy, but it has not passed us over here in Lower Frederick. So please stay safe out there.
Yes, very much so. Thank you. Mark, I guess the next item here is update on the Zieglerville Road home heating oil release.
So I've reached out to Mr. Hockel's sister, spoke with her. I waited a couple days, and it was good. I did. I think I talked to her the day after she buried her brother. She was upset, but not real, you know, kind of just trying to figure out what she's going to do. She doesn't know that there's a will. So she's not sure what's going to happen. She's not sure who's going to take ownership of the property. Was upset with the situation. So did talk with her about caution taping off the area. So we put caution tape up. You know, we'll check on that to make sure it doesn't get ripped down too much. Pretty sure it was the cousin, I think it is, that lived in New Jersey, was the one that was in the property and had removed. He had loaned Mr. Hockwell a van. So he picked that up and removed that. And that had a flat tire or two at that point. So I think that's why it went out on a flatbed. DEP is aware of the situation. Our code enforcement's aware of the situation. So we're trying to figure out where we go with that, with there not being a property owner at this time. So that's where we are at the moment.
Great. Thank you, Mark. Are there any questions for Mark on this item? Great. Thank you. Administrative actions, approval of minutes from our November 4th, 2020 general meeting. We need a motion for approval. I'll be willing to make the motion that we approve minutes from our November 4th meeting as presented.
I'll second that.
Chuck Yizer made the motion. Noel Halter seconds. Is there any further discussion? All in favor, say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Any against? Hearing none, motion carries unanimously. Great, thank you. Brings us to our next agenda item, which is approval checklist. Mark, I guess that's for you.
Yep. Okay, so we did just a small check run here to get through the middle of the month of December and get some checks in right before we end the year. So in the general fund, it's a small check run of $10,912.22. And in the sewer fund, it's a check run of $9,264.42.
Okay. We get a motion approve the check runs listed for the sewer fund as well as the general fund.
Also move.
Marla Hexter makes the motion. Second?
I'll second.
Dan Orff seconds. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor of approving the check runs as described by our manager in the general fund and the sewer fund, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any against? Great. Motion carries unanimously. All right, that brings us to public comment. Do we have any public comment on tonight's agenda items?
I'm not seeing anything at this time, Chuck.
Okay. So that brings us to the next agenda item, which is the open space tax ordinance.
Go ahead. In the summer, the township began the process of putting a referendum on the ballot for November 3rd, asking the residents if they would like the township to impose an increase to the earned income tax for the purpose of land preservation and buying open space in the amount of 0.05%. At the November 3rd election, that referendum passed. So the board then had to advertise the ordinance to implement the tax. So this is the ordinance approving the implementation of that tax.
So we need a motion to approve the ordinance 2020-06.
I'll so move.
I will second.
Okay, so Marla Hexter makes the motion to approve ordinance 2020-06, and Noel Halter seconds. Any discussion?
I did have a letter. Give me a second here.
Don't see anything, Mark.
Yeah, I'm trying. It's not cooperating today. Okay, I had a note from Justine Myers, who lives on Big Road. She asked that we rethink the new tax that you're imposing on the citizens of Lower Frederick for the purpose of land preservation in a time of crisis. The fact that this was proposed is mind-blowing to me, as we have skyrocketing unemployment and people who still have not received unemployment checks. Of course, Montgomery County is also talking about a tax increase because they can't seem to stay within their budget, although they were able to spend $127 million on overpriced project. This, along no doubt with the school, will somehow also need to raise taxes, even though kids have not been in school for over half the time and buses have only been running part-time. There will, I'm sure, still be reason why we would need to see yet another increase in our already high school taxes. And what about the regular township budget? As far as I know, that hasn't been finalized yet either. So she asked me to read that.
When was the letter sent, just for the record? You know, or
I'm trying. November 28th.
Thank you. Are there any comments? Say, Justine, thank you for your input. So,
no one else, Chuck.
Yep. Was somebody going to say something? Okay. Hearing none. All in favor of approving ordinance 2020-06, say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Any against? Motion carries unanimously. Thank you. The no parking ordinance.
Again, this is an ordinance that we've talked about a couple times now. The township installed no parking signs on the curve of Village Drive to help with site visibility and just the crowding of the road. And also during the Goshen Road sidewalk project, we instituted a like a designated parking area with striping. And we also did a little bit of road narrowing to help calm traffic. With that being in place, we have to implement a no parking on the southerly side of Goshen Road. So this ordinance then amends our no parking or prohibited parking areas to add the Goshen Road section and the Village Drive section.
Mark, I have a question. At what point does it become enforceable? The minute we approve the resolution, or I mean, is the advertising done, or do we have to file it, like, just for residents?
It under the second class township code, all your ordinances are automatically effective 5 days after enactment, unless you extend that period of time longer.
And when enactment occurs?
Meaning today. So on December 20th. It's enforceable.
Okay. So that's what I wanted to know. Thank you.
Yep.
So,
and Marlo, that's actually stated in the ordinance.
Okay, great.
So this is ordinance 2020-05, no parking ordinance. So can we get a motion for approving ordinance 2020-05 as advertised?
I move to approve ordinance 2020-05 as advertised.
Great. Dan Orff makes the motion. Any second?
I'll second.
Okay. Noel Halter seconds. Is there any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor of approving ordinance 2020-05, say aye. Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Great. Thank you. Motion carries unanimously. Oh, any against? Thank you. Motion carries unanimously. police pension resolution.
I was contacted by the police pension provider for the township, and they asked that we do a resolution that establishes the police officer's contribution to the police pension fund. I don't know that this was done before, so they were calling to have that done. So ordinance in front of you establishes the contribution from the Lower Frederick police officers to the police pension fund.
Okay. And that is ordinance 2020-23.
Correct. Resolution.
Sorry, resolution 20. Yep.
I might have misspoke there.
No, you didn't. Well, either way. Resolution 2020-23, which again is in reference to the Lower Frederick's contribution to the police officers' pension fund. Can we get a motion approving the resolution?
I move to approve resolution 2020-23, establishing the contribution from Lower Frederick police officers to the pension fund.
I'll second.
Okay, Dan Orff makes the motion. Marla Hexter seconds. Is there any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor of approving resolution 2020-23, say aye.
Aye.
Against? Motion carries unanimously. Great. Thank you. So for all of those things, Mark, you're going to need 5 signatures, right?
Yeah, and I'll get it all put together here after the storm and we'll get everything signed.
Okay.
So when's that going to be? Friday or Thursday or?
Probably Friday.
Okay.
I'll have everything ready and we can do it Friday or Monday.
Okay. Next item, 2021 reorg meeting.
Yeah, we discussed because all the townships have to have a reorganizational meeting on the first business day in January of each year. And our regular meeting would be on January 5th, making the proposal that we have just a very brief reorganizational meeting on January 4th. Early at 4:30, and then we have our regular scheduled meeting on January 5th at the regular 7 p.m. time. This law that the state has stretches all the professional staff very thin, and this would help with just getting things done. We get the reorganizational things done on the 4th when we have to, and then we'll have our regular scheduled meeting on the 5th.
Mark, can you please clarify what our policy is? It'll be the same as our policy was a year ago about those people on boards and commissions whose terms are up.
We ask
more in terms of until they are either reappointed or if they're not reappointed, if someone else is appointed, that they cannot attend a meeting until that occurs.
Attend the regular scheduled meeting of their board. Yeah, so we're asking for anyone that is out there that wants to be on one of the new boards to send in a resume and a cover letter or just some information about yourself and what board you're interested in being on. And then, yeah, once if your term's up, you can't represent yourself as a member of the board until you either are reappointed or appointed to a different board.
So technically, it's an open position until an appointment is made, whether it's a reappointment or a new person.
Correct.
Exactly. And hopefully that will not cause any hardship to any of our boards and commissions.
Right. So the 4th is a Monday, right?
Yep. That's the day we have to have our reorganizational meeting. And we have to get that advertised in the newspaper.
Proposing a meeting that starts at 4:30 p.m. and will run approximately a half an hour, maybe?
Yes. Yep. We have to open up for public comment and everything, just like a regular meeting. But, you know, since we'd be having the regular meeting on the 5th, we'd just be doing the reorganization things on the 4th.
Right. Is everybody okay with starting at 4:30? Are there any comments?
I may have a conflict.
Okay.
Yeah.
5 work?
cutting it close, but I can make that work.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean,
would it be better earlier, Noelle? I mean,
well, that I've had a shift in scheduling, and I'm working later. I don't get back to the house till 4:30, 5 o'clock. But I can try and wing that. I think I can make that work.
Okay. Does 5 work for you, Peter?
Yeah, it does.
Okay.
I could do all 5. Right. I could do 5:30 probably. As long as it's only going to take about a half an hour. Well, my next meeting would be at 6:30, but it's luckily only about 5-10 minutes from my house.
Okay. Well, we'll plan on 5. We'll advertise 5, and if Noelle's running a little late, you know, Chuck will sing.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Hey, can I just go back to Marla's comment and just throw in a little, unfortunately, a little cold water on it. Oops. Some, okay. It, depending on the board or committee or commission, in some cases, you know, a person is appointed for a specific term that expires. In other cases, people are appointed, and even if their term expires, they remain in place until a replacement is appointed. You know, for example, under the MPC for the Planning Commission, it specifically says the terms of each of the members of the commission shall be for 4 years or until his successor is appointed and qualified. So you can have that rule, but if the state law doesn't go that way, or if the ordinance or resolution establishing that commission, board, or committee doesn't state that, that might not be actually how it works.
Well, we just did the ordinance establishing it this year, right?
Yes. Well,
that was the,
we didn't have one on the books.
Yeah, we didn't have one.
For the Planning Commission?
Yeah.
Well, there might have been one decades ago, but nobody could locate it. So we just redid it.
I that's really helpful to clarify that, Peter. I guess, but maybe the other half of my point is just to let everybody know that even if their term has expired and the meeting is the next day, it's still possible they won't be reappointed. I guess we want to get people the correct information. But thank you. That's very helpful. We didn't have that last year.
Okay.
Right. So just a general question mark. If for some reason, well, we're all going to be on Zoom, but if for some reason we cannot meet on the 4th due to, you know, power outage or something, then we would just do this on the 5th, I assume. Power.
Well, Chuck, yeah, it would have to be quite a event for you not to meet on the first Monday of January. The second class township code is quite specific that you need to meet there then and there to reorganize. Now, I don't know what penalty there is for not doing it. Obviously if there is some catastrophe that makes it impossible for the reorg meeting to occur on the first Monday of the year, then yeah, you would then do it as soon thereafter as possible.
That's fine. I mean, I ran a June meeting from the front seat of my car, so we can do what I got to do.
Again, this
certainly these days, I think after all this, it's going to be a lot easier to deal with those sorts of situations. Like, I have a meeting tomorrow night, but it's virtual, so I suspect we'll still be having it.
Assuming you have power.
Yeah. Yes. Assuming that. Yes.
Okay. So we beat that one to death. Is there any more? Do we need to fit? We need to officially approve this, I assume, right?
No, we're good. It's just we need to. We're going to set the date and time for the reorganizational meeting at 5 p.m. on January 4th, 2021.
Okay.
And then we'll advertise that as.
Okay. New business?
Going back to Marla, actually, as I was sitting here, I got a Montgomery County update on the weather. And so this is from the county for the emergency management, and they have us solidly in the 8 to 12. We're about the center of the 8 to 12 area. So that kind of makes me feel a little good. 12 to 18 actually starts above Allentown. So
yep.
In this map now, who Carol knows what it will actually be. But they do pretty good. You know, this is, goes out to all the county, all the every township and everything. They do a pretty good job putting that together.
Well, it's going to be some good skiing.
Absolutely.
Didn't have any snow last year.
No.
So, Mark, under new business, we want to just, we're making our announcement about boards.
Yep. Again, like I said, while we were having that last conversation, we are looking for volunteers for boards and commissions. If you're interested in participating or volunteering for a board or commission, send me an email at manager@lowerfrederick.org with what board you want to be on, a little letter and just a little bit about yourself. You know, and then we'll be in touch.
So, when we pass the open space tax ordinance, what does the board think about perhaps establishing an open space committee?
Absolutely.
I meant to mention that when we did the ordinance, and I apologize, I forgot, but I guess we can do it under new business since we were already talking about board positions.
I think this is something that other places may do, and it just provides a little of a more of a process to it. So have another entity look at possible. I'm sorry, Peter.
I thought you would stop. I'll keep my mouth shut until you're done.
I thought you were going to add on to what I was saying. I think it's good for to have another entity that may have a representative from the board, but is not the board, to kind of look at some of the proposals for use of the fund and then to bring it to the board. It's good to have a process, especially where taxpayer dollars are involved.
One concept that I'm familiar with is to have a committee of, let's say, 7, where you have a member from each of the boards, meaning Board of Supervisors, Park Board, let's say EAC, Planning Commission. And then you could have 3 openings for people who aren't necessarily on any boards. They could be, but they don't have to be. That's one concept I'm familiar with. I guess the question that Peter can help us with is that something that we formally have to do, or can it be sort of an ad hoc thing, or how would...
State earlier is we do have several clients that have open space or land preservation committees and you know that are quite active, and you know, what the committees do is they look at all the applications. They even, you know, generally speaking, they would go through do a formal review of all the property in the township and start figuring out, you know, what properties do they really like? Do they really want? And actually rank order them. And then they review, and they also put together kind of a guidelines or a checklist of how to rank properties when applications come in. I.e., you know, the bigger the property it is, the higher value you give it, the more likely it is to be developed as a higher value. The fact if you're into ag preservation, if something's already farmed, you give that higher value. And the land preservation committee could do all that. And then as applications come in, they would then, using that chart that they've already put together, figure out what is the value of that particular application. And, you know, you can have them make recommendations on, what should be paid on a per acre basis for property total. Some of them actually then after property is preserved, you should do annual checkups on the property, annual reviews, go out, do site visits to make sure that the easement that's placed on the property is being complied with. It takes training, but some volunteers are willing to do that. But it should be a they have a lot of input into the process. So I would say it's better to have it to be formal. I have a few sample resolutions establishing these things that I could provide for Mark if the board wants it. And you know, that would be the process that I would go through.
Is that acceptable? I'm guessing we'd like to see the samples that you have.
Please.
Yep. Yes, please.
It would be great if, you know, if it's not too troublesome, just to get them to us as soon as possible so we can have some time to consider them.
And okay. When you say formal, do you mean, you know, they have to provide minutes and.
Well, they're doing township business, so they have to operate under the Sunshine Act and under the Right to Know law. So even if it was just some ad hoc, there's, you know, no formal creation of it, you know, I would still say, yeah, you got to comply with those laws. You can't circumnavigate them by saying, well, it's not a formal committee. You'd still have to do all that.
Okay.
Advertise the meetings, the whole nine yards.
So when we get the samples, we can look up those townships that have them and look at their minutes and see how they operate. That would probably be very helpful to us.
I probably, you know, since these samples are mostly from our clients, I might be able to even provide you with those minutes.
Wonderful.
Great. Thank you, Peter.
You're welcome.
Thanks.
Thank you. Any other new business?
Just a quick question for Peter. The type of, this is related to what we were just talking about, the type of committee as outlined by Chuck, is that one? Any of your clients using that strategy where they have members from each of the major other committees within the township, plus some additional representation? I mean, it sounds like a good plan to me. So I'm just curious if you had clients had used that model.
Not that I know of. No.
Okay.
The ones that I deal with, it's a separate committee. There might be one. Board representative on it, but that would be it. In fact, one of the ones that's most active, which is Bedminster Township in Bucks County, and they've preserved thousands of acres. I think every person on there is completely independent from, you know, any other committee or any position in the township.
Okay.
Any other questions on this for Peter or for Mark or for anybody? Hearing none, I guess that brings us to public comment.
I'm not seeing anything, Chuck.
Great. So that brings us to adjournment. We do have meetings. Planning Commission meeting this Thursday, December 17th. There is a EAC meeting on the 21st.
28th. And,
sorry?
Isn't it the 28th?
I think the 21st.
I'm just reading printed on the agenda.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm sorry.
Is that correct?
Yeah, I think you're right. I'm just so used to it being the 4th. I think they moved it.
I think that is the 4th.
It's the 3rd.
It's the 21st, right?
Maybe Ruth is there. Ask her.
Oh, I'm looking here. Yeah, it's the 21st. Sorry. Usually it's the 4th and then. Sorry.
Okay.
You're right. The 21st. Go ahead.
And we still have a continuation of a conditional use hearing for Prestige Properties on the 29th, which is a Thursday?
Tuesday
evening at 7 p.m.
Yep.
Okay. And motion for adjournment.
I'll still move.
Second.
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 Noel Halter makes the motion. Terry Bird seconds. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Great. Happy holidays.
Everybody stay safe.
Happy Merry Christmas. Happy New Year.
Yeah, stay safe in the snow and in the COVID. We got a lot of
stuff. Be careful over the next couple of days.
Take your time shoveling.
Happy holidays to everyone.
Yeah. Thanks, Peter.
Thank you, Peter. My pleasure. Thank you, Mark.
Yep.
Hi, Carol.
Bye.
Good night.
I'm thinking of Salford Station. It ends and starts over somewhere else.
So there's a list out there, and the memo I gave you actually has a link to that list. There's okay. a PennDOT list out there of roads that are being paved over the next 4 or 5 years, resurfaced where they mill and pave. And these are the roads specifically listed for Lower Frederick Township. Okay. So even though Salford Station may jump around elsewhere, this is specifically the Salford Station Road in Lower Frederick Township. That's what I was looking for when I reviewed that list, but I'd be happy to forward you that link if you didn't find it in my memo, and you can look at where it relates to other townships.
No, that's fine. Okay. Your answer.
I'm sorry. This is Noelle. I guess my question is this going to cost the township money?
Not today. When they repave these roads, there will be a unit cost for adjusting a manhole if it proves to be necessary during the repaving operation. So it's usually a bid unit cost. It's usually in the range of a few $100s per structure. And that would all be worked out before the project initiation form is signed. So this year, this doesn't cost you anything but signing a resolution. In 2022, you'll have the opportunity to decide if you want to go through the project initiation form and accept those prices for those adjustments. Does that answer your question?
To a certain degree, yes. Thank you.
Okay.
Carol, if we don't do this, then we have to get the manhole risers and basically put them on as they're paving, correct?
That is exactly correct. And while that sounds very logical, the reality of trying to coordinate your public works staff and availability with the timing of the pavers going through or sometimes working overnight on these jobs turns out not to be as easy as it sounds. And these master casting agreements have been around for a long time. And I've seen time and time again that it really saves the municipality frustration and money to simply work with the department's contractor on these things. The difference this year is that in the past, they signed these master casting agreements, did the resolution, and did the project initiation form for every single project. What they're trying to do now is set up a 9-year master casting agreement, one resolution, so that only one time in 9 years do we have to go through the explanation and take your time. And then in each year thereafter, the actual project initiation form would be utilized to get things going.
Carol, is there a unit cost list available to look at now?
There is, and I can make sure that you have that prior to the next meeting, if that would be helpful.
I would assume then we would be wise to start budgeting for that ahead of time, worst case scenario. Mm-hmm.
And Carol, another follow-up. This is Dan. So basically, I don't think there. Do we have a list somewhere the number of manhole covers on each of the roads?
We usually prepare that as it gets closer to the project. We get a request from PennDOT to prepare that list. But I can certainly relatively easily tell you from our mapping, sewer mapping, how many manholes are on Big Road and Little Road so that you can project towards 2022.
Carol, do you know how many are on Salford Station and Little Road?
Again, I have the mapping to check that. We have just a little bit of sanitary sewer on Little Road. Today, we do not have any sanitary sewer on Salford Station Road. So okay. Big Road and Little Road are the ones where this would come into play over the next 5 years.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, this is Chuck. And as I remember, at least driving around last year or other times recently, when they did 29, that was a nighttime work job. So, giving PennDOT the go-ahead ahead of time to do what's needed in terms of adjusting elevation kind of makes sense to me. I don't know what the cost differential is between them doing it and us doing it, but I'm sure we can kind of get a handle on that. But I to me, it kind of makes sense for those roads in particular.
And I don't think really there's that many manholes, if I'm manhole covers on those three roads and the roads that you've identified. There's only like two on a little road, I think.
Yeah, it's not going to be a big budget item for the township. You're right. Correct. I will get you those numbers in advance of the next meeting.
Okay. And Carol, this is Marla. Are we going to use liquid fuels money for those?
I believe you can separate? Use liquid fuels money for that, yes.
Okay, so also including the manhole cover work, whatever you call it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just a riser. So it's a ring of steel that's about 2 inches tall to just bring the manhole up. So, I mean, you're, like I think Carol said, you're only talking $200-$300 per manhole.
So just,
it's more
this is Noel again. So just so I have this right. So the master casting agreement is, as Carol said, instead of having to, correspond our public works with them doing the road work, they would be the one doing that work and then charging it to the township? Is that how that works?
We have to buy the riser.
Okay. Right. Gotcha. Okay.
We just pay for the riser, correct, Carol?
You can do it either way. If you're in a position to buy the riser yourself, that's the preference. It'll be least.
But we wouldn't be paying for their time to install that.
That's correct. Yes.
Okay. Oh, okay.
So there are circumstances where the township buys the riser.
That's actually in the master casting agreement. The preference is that we would essentially be the utility at that point. And their preference is that the utility buys the riser and provides it to them. That's their preference.
So they would tell us what heights they needed?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, we had to provide a couple last year for 29, but it was just in the general budget. It was not much mm-hmm. whatsoever.
Is there a time frame to pass this resolution?
They were asking to get it done fairly quickly so that it was ready to move forward right away in 2021, but
I think that I don't know. Maybe I might want a little bit more information. It doesn't sound terrible, considering we don't have that many manholes. But I don't know.
And Carol, just for clarification, we've been doing this for years. This is just a renewal.
You have done this in past years. That's correct.
So I think this is really not a new thing, Noel. It's a renewal of something we've been doing.
Well, they used to do it. They did it per project. So this is the first time they're doing this resolution, which will be a blanket resolution for the next 9 years. Usually they would do it per project. So you might not have one for a year or two, and then you'd have, in 2022, we'd have two. So this is just making it a blanket to streamline the paperwork.
Right.
But 9 years seems like a long time. I don't know. Is there any escape clause if for some reason either party isn't happy with it?
Well, there's actually, as I said, there's a project initiation form. So the process was the master casting agreement and resolution followed up by the project initiation form. In this case, what they're trying to establish is get the master casting agreement and the resolution in place, and then for each project, there would be a project initiation form. And if the township decided in 2022, hey, we want to do it ourselves, then you don't submit the project initiation form and you're not committed to anything. So this doesn't fix you for 9 years to only do one thing.
Right. So it's sort of like when you go to some place and you do some pre-admittance forms. So those are done already. And then you can just execute the forms on as needed basis. So I don't think this is a very big issue.
It's a good way of describing it. I would agree with that. Yes.
So we still have control over each individual project how we want to go. It's just once we make the decision, the paperwork's already been pre-approved.
Yes, ma'am, right. That's correct.
Okay.
Yeah, if you read the memo, I think it's pretty clear how it all works. It's in the Dropbox. Mark put it in our Dropbox for this meeting.
So if you have any other questions, though, shoot them over and I'll do my best to get you any answers that you are looking for.
My only other comment is, I don't know whether there's something at some point, people are always asking when things are scheduled to be repaved, whether at some point we can put this information out there on our Facebook page or whatever.
For the state roads?
Yeah.
Let me look at that link and then we can look at that.
Yeah, it's in that memo. Okay. Any other questions? Great. Well, thank you, Carol. That brings us to the next agenda item, right?
Yep. Hold on a second.
I was going to say your agenda is different than my agenda. I think you skipped something.
I did. I think I did. Yeah. All right. My bad. So next on the agenda, which is not on the PowerPoint slideshow, is the Foy Park Playground. So going back to Tropical Storm that we had in August, that playground again flooded. I'm told people kind of feel like it's probably the eighth time that this has happened. Every time that this happens, the township incurs a pretty heavy cost to replace the engineered wood fiber product, which is the fall attenuation surface under the playground. For playgrounds, you have to buy a very specific product. They call it wood carpet. It's been tested so that if a child falls on it, it absorbs the fall so that hopefully the kids don't get any broken arms or anything like that. So they determined that the 20-foot slides that we played on blacktop was not a good idea anymore. So now they make you buy engineered wood fiber to put under your playgrounds. So once again, the playground is flooded many times. It's also an older playground, approximately 18 years old, in Foy Park in a floodplain. So at our last meeting, the board had asked the park board, you know, to discuss it and come up with a recommendation. At the September 14th park board meeting, the committee voted 4-2 to take the Foy Park playground down. Due to the flooding issues, along with the maintenance costs, we feel it would be in best interest of the township. And then they're also going to be talking about the rest of the active equipment in that park. When Foy Park was purchased, it was supposed to be a passive park, all passive recreation type of things, picnic tables, a walking trail, access to the creek. But there were actually, there was not supposed to be any active play type activities in Foy Park. That's actually in our agreement with the money that we received from the county. So then it goes to the board, and the board, you know, will need to decide how they want to proceed with the playground in Foy Park.
Mark, if the playground equipment is removed, how does that work? Is it just garbage? Are there places that will take it? How?
We'll try to recycle all of the metal. We'll try to recycle all of the metal. So that playground is put in. You put your playground in. You drill holes with the auger. So, you know, the playground poles are about 4 to 6 inches. You drill a foot to 2 foot hole into the ground, probably about 3 feet. You fill that with concrete. So once a playground is in the ground, it's very, very hard to do anything with it other than remove it. And like I said, it's at its end of life. So what we would do is we'd cut it, all the legs off. We'd cut all the plastic off. You know, the plastic would go to
the trash and the metal we would take to a recycle yard and try to get some value out of it. But recycling metal value for recycling is not very much.
And what about the basketball court, which I mean, is there any reason not to just leave that? Is there an issue with that?
They didn't discuss the basketball. I guess they said they're going to be considering the rest of the active equipment at their next meeting.
I think the park board members wanted to make individual visits to, I think Donna Lynn was responsible for doing the park inspection. And I think, if I remember correctly, the other members indicated they wanted to have the opportunity to go down there too and just see what Donna Lynn had observed for themselves.
So I think from her report, the blacktop in the basketball court is pretty cracked. You know, it has some weeds growing through it and stuff. So,
this is Chuck. I have an attachment to that park that is probably different from the rest of you because I had young kids and it was brand spanking new when we went there and it was the big thing. And we used it as enticement to take the kids out for walks and bike rides, saying, we'll give you time to go play in the playground. And I'm really sad to see it go. I wish it didn't have to happen, but I would like to see the township try to see whether to start maybe some long-range planning if there is another site in our more densely populated area of the township where a playground could be installed. That would be nice. I don't know whether such ground exists at the time, but I think it should be on our agenda. I know it was very nice to have it there. It was used quite a bit when we were there. I was primarily there on weekends, but I was usually never by myself. It's just a shame that it's in an area that's prone to flooding.
We do have a hand up or after the board is done.
So I just had one other, I guess, a comment. I think given the propensity to flood there and the environmental issues with the flooding, we've seen the trees and branches that come up and all the other stuff that happens there. I think it would be useful to have the EAC also take a look and give some input on any remediation measures that would be useful, like planting trees or any riparian buffers that might help make that area more useful to some eventual non-playground use, something that might mitigate the flooding and other issues.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea, Marla, I agree.
Because I think there are things that playground can be used for where people with young children, older children can use it, but we have to deal with the problem, which is the flooding, the proximity to the creek, the dam, all that stuff. So it's I think it's a bigger issue than just the cleanup, unfortunately.
So two follow-ups. So there was no undermining of the blacktop associated with the recent flooding for the basketball court, because that's a likely outcome pretty soon, I would imagine. Just kind of curious about that.
During the during the August storm,
No,
there was no undermining that we could see of the blacktop. It's just getting old.
Yeah, okay. I took a walk today down there I knew it was an agenda item, and I should have taken some pictures, but it's just not, like I think Donald might have said, it's just cracks throughout the whole thing where there's grass and weeds growing up through it. And the basketball, the goals and the nets and everything aren't in great shape either. I mean, they're okay. They're just the old metal style.
Right.
And I mean, again, the playground equipment, as we've all seen, it looks okay. It's just that it's closed because of all the mulch that's not there for safety issues.
And just a follow up, you were talking about proximity to other lands in the township. Is the land that gets cleaned up with that we cleaned up that one time as part of the over in the villages, or I'm trying to remember, there's a big chunk of land there that we wound up cleaning up. I thought that was a That was township land.
Is that Cedar Hill, Dan?
Yeah, Cedar Hill. Thank you. Thank you. Because that's a reasonably good piece of land. And I don't know whether the tot lot that attaches to that, that is that the condos association, homeowners, or is that the townships?
In Cedar Hill, the township has a tot lot and a basketball court.
Okay, that's at the end that far.
At the end of at the Goshen, the circle on Goshen.
Okay. So those are township properties, so it's not like they don't have an alternative. They're probably just not aware that it exists as a resource. I had no idea that was a township property until we were about went on the cleaning mission two years ago. So okay. So there's a place you could take your kids, Chuck, now that they're all in college.
Yeah. Yeah. My only hesitation is kind of buried in that it's not, it's sort of buried inside of a, you know, dense community. And I was hoping that if it was ever an opportunity, we have a parcel somewhere, an opportunity, we could put something, but
yeah.
And I think the other thing too, is worth mentioning, we've talked about this flooding and the removal of the wood products. That wood product has to be replaced periodically anyway. So just keep that in mind. It's not like that lasts forever. It's not like a rubberized surface that could last forever. So that, you know, if we do another one of these, that is something that has to be factored in.
Yeah, yearly you need to usually add a little engineered wood fiber to the playgrounds to make sure that the fall attenuation surfacing, the wood carpet, is at the proper depth. You do have a hand up with Warren. And
yeah.
When you're ready.
I guess we're ready.
Okay. I'd like to elaborate a little bit that it was an interesting park board meeting. It was not a unanimous decision. There was a lot of confusion about what we were even voting on. I want to put that out there. I think the original motion that was made by Donna Lynn was to remove all of the active use structures in that park. There was a lot of confusion over that issue. We voted on it and it was not unanimous. I forget how the first vote went. I do remember that Donna Lynn actually voted against her own motion. I wasn't really sure of what the reasoning behind that was. I don't really know what everybody on the park board really wants to see with that. A new motion was made by Greg eventually that just specifically mentioned the playground equipment, not the tot lot equipment, not the other stuff, and we voted on that and it did pass, but once again it wasn't unanimous. So once again, the park board isn't totally 100% in agreement on this, although we did vote to remove the equipment. Now I'm going to speak not for the park board but for myself. I agree, and I voted for the motion to remove the equipment. The reason behind that for me is, one, it's not supposed to be there. We have a special agreement with the county to allow us to keep that there, because we put it there even though we weren't supposed to. And I don't think that we should be maintaining it into perpetuity just because we have a special exception because we did something that we weren't supposed to do. Other than that, I have some questions about what the immediacy would be to removing it. We did vote on that based on what we heard Donna Lynn's assessment of the equipment, because she's the one that assessed the park. I hadn't been to the park except for the day after the flood, so I went down the day after the park board meeting and checked it out. And I had some questions. I walked around in the playground equipment. I looked at it. It all looks great. I don't see any problem with it. It doesn't look like end of life to me. There's not a rust spot on any of the paint or anything. The equipment looks great. I don't know how long it really would last, but the mulch didn't completely wash away like it did the flood before this. And I wonder what, and maybe Mark can answer this question for me. Is there a specification that says how deep that mulch has to be? And did we measure it and find out how much mulch we need to replace that if we wanted to replace it on a temporary basis?
Yeah, we need about 6 to 8 inches. We have to get to the top of that wood structure, the wood border around the outside.
So did we calculate exactly how much mulch we would need if we were going to reopen the playground?
Yeah, we figured about 70 yards or one tractor trailer load.
So it is a significant expense to reopen it?
Yes.
Okay, I'm just curious. I don't know what I didn't know what the specifications were, and walking around on it, it seemed like.
No, I agree with you.
Walking on a mattress.
Yeah, I agree with you, Warren. It actually, for its life, it does still look pretty good. But yeah, I mean, it needs a significant amount of mulch, and like we've said, and it's happened many times. So if we put it in today, does it get out in October?
Right. Yeah. Well, we certainly wouldn't want to buy a tractor trailer and a mulch while we were still in hurricane season and then lose it all again. Especially when we might even have to close it down again because it's still COVID season. The other question that I had was, you guys were talking about where we would put another playground. And that was something that I brought up at our meeting. If we're going to take a playground out, there's a lot of people that aren't going to be happy about that. And it'd be really good if we could have a replacement playground. We had talked about what would be the possibility of doing something at the new Arcadia open space. And somebody, was it you, Chuck, was going to get back and see if you could find out what the Arcadia situation was.
I don't know if it was me or somebody in the park board, but Mark, what was discussed was to see whether or not the HOA agreement specifies that the tot lot is for the exclusive use of the residents of the Arcadia Station development, or is that also, can that also be used by township residents who don't live in Arcadia Station?
And that was me, Warren, and I, Mark, I think you got that about 4 or 5 days ago. I dropped off a draft copy of I took a quick look through it. I'm not sure it was in there.
I looked through it too, because I thought that's why it came on my desk. I didn't
see I gave it to Bonnie.
Did we have a verdict on that?
I did not see it in my, quick look through it. I did not see the playground. I was going to call their solicitor. Peter, are you on the line there? In yes. HOA agreements, so the Arcadia Station, the development that's currently under development will have an HOA. They're going to put in a tot lot. What is the, and I know you haven't seen the HOA agreement, so you may not know the answer to this, and if you don't, that's fine. The residents of the whole community, are they generally allowed to use that playground equipment?
Generally not, no.
Okay.
Usually it's just for the community. If the playground equipment is on HOA owned property and it's an HOA owned playground, it's usually only for that community and their guests. In the past where I've had developments where we want certain aspects of the open space to be open to the public in general, we've had separate agreements specifically state that.
Yeah, I guess what got a little confusing though, Peter, is we did and maybe this is typical, I just don't know, that we did have some input as to the type of equipment that would be installed there.
Yeah, that's common. But what matters is what does the HOA document say, and is there, does the township have easements over that land that says it can be open to the general public? Okay. But generally speaking, and this is based on the fact that I haven't looked at any documents for this development at all, but just in general, where it's property in a playground owned by an HOA, it's only for the members of that HOA.
All right.
Yeah, and just Chuck, I mean, just generally speaking, I mean, I'm in an HOA where I live, where I lived before I was in HOA. I don't think the cops are going to come and remove anyone, but it's in a community, so it would be unusual for someone to go into another community, you know, because it's not in a public place. It's literally inside the community. So that's the other challenge, is that people feel comfortable going into another community to use their play equipment,
right,
aside from the whether or not they can do it. I don't think anyone's going to throw them out.
Well, I mean, in your community, I just stop on Mine Hill Road and go use it, right? That's a little different, but I understand what you're saying. Yeah.
I mean, that's just the challenge in general with the HOAs. I don't think it's a offense, but it's not as welcoming. It's not as just open to the general public as something that's easily accessible.
So I guess the question, the follow-up is, that came up at the park board meeting, is if the equipment is for the exclusive use of Arcadia Station residents, then is it possible for the township to put playground equipment on the open space that will be provided to the township by the Arcadia Station development? Is there something limiting us, our ability to do that?
We'll have to look into that.
Oh, right. Chuck. And when we were discussing that, Chuck, we decided, well, it's an interesting situation, because you put a playground there, and they already have a playground. It's kind of a redundancy. But then again, you have the open space that's supposed to be for the whole township. And it is centrally located. It's accessible to the adjacent townhouses. So, but we can't put a playground in there because of the redundancy, because it's kind of a goofy situation.
I agree. Yeah.
So, and then I was thinking about that and, the problems with it, and where else could we put a park that has that type of equipment. And I thought to myself, what would be the reason? Can anybody think of any reasons why it wouldn't be a good idea to have such a tot lot at Second Street?
You mean that little open space at the bottom of the hill?
Yeah, where the old ambulance building used to be.
Yeah.
I went over there and looked at that, and I'm thinking, well, yeah, there's plenty of room for a tot lot. And the parking lot's too small. But then I'm thinking, well, why do we need a parking lot? Because here's a location that's centrally located for pedestrian access from so many places. It's accessible from the Boulder area. It's accessible from the existing houses in the old village of Spring Mound. It's accessible. It would be accessible from the townhouses if we would install the trail with the access of which is on our open space map that connects the back of the townhouses to Second Street. Mm-hmm. A lot of walkability situations here that would make a Second Street location be actually better than the Foy Park location.
Yeah, I think Warren, it sounds like the park board has some more work to do to discuss this and then make a recommendation. But I'd also ask the park board, you know, is there demand for more playground area? If the population, you know, where's the demand for the playgrounds? I mean, are the playgrounds overused? Are they underused? Are they just right used? I mean, I guess I just wouldn't want to, we're assuming that we need another playground. Is that correct?
I don't think we're really assuming anything. I just was thinking that you're going to have some negative feedback for removing a playground. I know it does get used. I know the other stuff down there in Foy Park gets used too. When I was over there examining it, I I hung out there for a while. I stayed and I had a little conversation with Bob Yoder while I was there. And while I was there, the playground was roped off, but the basketball court's not. I did see somebody come over and play by himself with the, on the basketball court. It got used while I was there witnessing it. I mean, everything gets used, I think. to what degree and to how important it is to us to have that stuff there for people to use, that's for us to determine. And once again, I'm not speaking for the park board. This is just all my personal thoughts here.
Well, it sounds like that's the topic you can bring up at the next park board meeting.
Sure.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, and I don't think Foy Park is finished. It's still going to be Foy Park. It's just going to be different. I think we're still going to have a lot of use there. I think we'll still have people going there to do things. It'll just be different things. So I think I hope I'm speaking for the board is our intention is not to close Foy Park. We're going to repurpose it. Does that make sense?
You know, I mean, we were happy as kids if we had a little bit of solid surface to play four square or something like that. There might be other opportunities.
Yeah.
I think, I mean, before the hurricane, I know that our parks and all county and all parks were seeing a huge increase. Even though some were being shut down and, you know, warning against touching everything, it didn't really stop a lot of people from using, you know, Cobble Park and Boy Park. So I think if you do take away the park, that is would be a pretty void. And then even looking at Cobble Park, I'm sure this is a topic on the park board, that's not getting any younger. So we really do have to think about our infrastructure in the parks. And Mark, just for reference, what was the estimate, just materials, each time our tractor trailer load of mulch gets washed down the river?
About 6K. Roughly 5,000 or 6,000 was what the estimate was for the repairs, from my memory.
Yeah, I think I got it down for, you know, everything with the install. I think the cheapest I got was $4,300.
Mm-hmm. That's not counting all the time and labor our road crew puts in cleaning it up. So there's a cost to that too.
Well, I mean, keep in mind we have, you know, not to belabor this too much, but we do have, you know, some potential developments going in where we may decide we want active recreation space or fee in lieu of if we're allowed to do that.
Mm-hmm. And the big concern was replacing that mulch and then having another storm event and seeing $4,000 or $5,000 float down the river. And as much as people might criticize us for not permitting the equipment to be used, I think we get equally as criticized for replenishing mulch in a floodplain and then having to do it again like 5 months from now. That's just fiscally not very responsible, I don't think.
Yeah, so maybe let's look at what does make sense at Foy Park that will provide recreational activities for our community.
Okay, I'd like to move forward if that's okay with everybody else. I guess the next item, Mark, is the police pension.
Okay, so every year the township gets a police pension minimum municipal obligation report. And it's supposed to be presented to the board. So this is our MMO for the 2021 budget. So the PSATs, who does our police pension for us, sent us the paperwork, and next year our obligation will be $66,043. So this is supposed to be just presented to the board each fall, just so that it is known. We have to send back a form that we let the board know that this was done. So we're just doing that for this. And you'll see that again in your 2021 budget.
Any questions? Okay. Keep going.
The next item on the agenda is the general fund investment CD. So we were looking at our CDs and we had some CDs come due. So we were going to invest in another CD for $200,000 for the general fund. From the time that we did our last CD to this one, the bank has changed their rules and the board has to pass a resolution just stating that they know that they're investing money in a CD, that we're basically opening a new account since this was done a rollover. So at our next meeting, we will have a resolution just stating that the board understands that they're opening a new account, which will be a CD in the amount of $200,000.
And Mark,
that would be with Victory Bank.
And you'll have all the particulars for us in terms of rates and stuff, right?
Yeah.
I mean, next.
Yep.
As part of next week.
Yeah, it's a 60-month CD. I had it here. Hold on a second. The rate is not what it used to be, I can tell you that.
Well, why would we get a 60-month if the rates are so low? I mean, is that wise?
It was the highest rate that we could get.
Well, I know, but just, anyway, that's another question. Should we be tying our money up for that long?
Well, we can go with a shorter one. I can get you the different options. This is what we thought was the best option for the time being. We can pull it out at any time.
Okay, but there's a penalty. But what do we normally do for terms? Isn't it usually 2 years or 3 years?
Yeah, we've done all different. There's been many different ones.
Mark, does the resolution have to be specific to a particular investment, or can it just say certificate of deposit?
No, it has the account number on there. Okay. That if we would do it. I'll get that information for you.
Thanks.
Any other questions on that agenda item? So we'll move on to fire company tax credit.
So in 2017, the township passed an ordinance that allows our volunteer firefighters to get credit on their earned income tax and their property tax if they own property in the township. So each year, the board needs to pass a resolution establishing the annual criteria for the Lower Frederick Township volunteers to meet to be allowed to take those credits. So the only change, I presented this to the fire company, and the only change they asked, so the number one program criteria was volunteers must have completed a minimum of 2 years of active service with the Lower Frederick Fire Company. They've asked that we waive this and just allow people in their first year, because in their first year they have to attend many hours of school to be a firefighter. So it does help them. Usually this is younger people, so they don't own property. So it wouldn't affect the property tax portion. It would just be, you know, a portion of the earned income tax. So they have asked for that change. If we do not change it, it's, you know, that's fine too. They're just asking for that. The next point is volunteers must have participated in at least 25% of emergency response calls for the calendar year. Number three is volunteers must have participated in 50% of fire company training drills for the calendar year. And then number four is volunteers must have participated in at least 50% of the fire company's fundraising activities for the calendar year. So the fire chief keeps track of all this and then gives the township a list in January or February of the volunteers that completed all that criteria. And then we fill out the paperwork, and the board approved this approved the list of volunteers back in March. But this is the other part of this is the tax credit requirement resolution that's supposed to be done annually.
Yeah, just for everyone else's background, this came up through the state of Pennsylvania 3 or 4 years ago, where there really is a crisis in Pennsylvania for firefighters. And we are very fortunate to have an all-volunteer fire company. So this is one way the state is supporting municipalities like us to keep our volunteer firefighters.
Yes, it is.
Mark,
firefighters do a lot of work.
Mark, this is Peter Nelson. Did the township adopt this last year, or is this the first year we're doing this?
No, I think this is the third year. We adopted it.
It's the third year? Okay.
Yeah, I think 18, 19, 20. Yeah, I think this is the third year.
So the intention then is to next year, we're just going to bundle this in with everything else that we do in January. Is that what you said,
Mark? Yeah, my opinion is that we would do this with our January, just the bundle of everything, just to get it done right in the very beginning of the year. I'm not sure why it was done this late in the past, but this is when it was done. So, but if we could do it in January moving forward, then it's all right in the beginning and out of the way.
I think, Chuck, what happened was, since it was so new, there may have been, it may have been missed or misunderstood by other solicitors. And then we tried to play catch up when they realized it wasn't just one and done. We had to do it every single year. So that's kind of the reason for where we are.
Yeah, I know. I understand.
So for my sanity, we'll do it in January.
Any other questions on the tax credit? All right, keep it moving. Annual donations.
So the township for many years has made annual donations to the Schwanksville Library and to the Visiting Nurses, county group that comes in and helps people in the township. So I just wanted to bring this to your attention, and you know, we'll get approval for the Schwanksville Library. The township has always donated, and it is in the budget to donate $3,000 to the library, and the Visiting Nurses annually has donated $200. So that again also is in the budget. Those both actually have line items just for those, but being as your board did not pass the budget, I wanted to bring those to you to, you know, to get approval to provide those donations to those organizations.
So those are things, these are things that you will include in next year's budget.
Yes. Yep. Right. We'll make the donation in October, if that's okay with everybody, of this year.
Right.
But so yes,
you need.
I would plan to continue those donations moving forward.
So this is something we'll vote on next week, or do you not need us to vote on this?
If everyone's in a agreement, it doesn't need a vote. It was in the budget. I was just really bringing it to your attention to make sure that everybody was aware of it. It'll be in your check run, so you'll vote on it there.
Okay. Sounds good to me. Any questions? All right. Next item is liability insurance.
Yeah, so as I stated in our last meeting, working with insurance companies to try to look at the township's liability and property insurance. In 2019, for our 2020 year, so the 2019-2020 year, the township spent approximately $61,697 in property and liability insurance. So it went out. Currently, the township is using PERMA, which is a trust of municipal governments and a company called EMC for our insurance. So I spoke with them and let them know that we wanted to, you know, look at other options. So they came in and sharpened their pencils with their amounts. And I got quotes from Brown & Brown, which is a commercial insurance provider, and then Delaware Valley Trust, which is another municipal trust. So currently I have quotes from $46,500 to approximately $52,500. Unfortunately, I just got these quotes today and yesterday, so I need to go back through and look at all of the deductibles and everything, and you know, really make sure that we are looking for apples for apples. But it's looking very good. Even if we stay with our current situation, we're going to save approximately $9,000 if we stay with our current insurance company with no changes. So it was good to put this out there and, you know, get PERMA to sharpen their pencil. But we do have a couple of other options that I'm going to review their proposals and, you know, get a memo out to the board as soon as possible. But I wanted to let you know that it looks good, that we should save probably around $9,000 in insurance next year, which would be a nice savings.
Always welcome. Any questions for Mark on the liability property insurance?
Yeah. Mark, is that all inclusive, like police, fire, road crew, everything policy?
So it's all inclusive for the township, and then we cover the fire company liability for their autos, for the trucks. But we don't do their...
Is that part of this, or is that just separate?
Say that again, Terry.
Yeah, is that part of what we're talking about here? Is that a separate policy?
That's part of what we're talking about here. Their property insurance on their building is separate. That's not, they take care of that on their own.
Okay.
So this is just for the fire company trucks.
Okay. And police?
Yeah, that it's encompasses the whole township. The police, okay. The public works, the admin, sewer plant, parks, everything, and the fire company trucks.
Great. Thank you.
Yep.
Any other questions for Mark on the liability and property insurance? Okay. I guess that takes us to new business, Mark.
Too many papers. So I just wanted to let everyone know that the Prestige property developers who are looking to develop the Shahaki track have come in with a conditional use application that the board will be looking at in the near future. Hope to have it on the Planning Commission agenda for October 15th. And they're looking to utilize neighborhood lotting to develop the Shahaki property, which they need to get the conditional use approval from the board to do. So I sent the sketch plan and the application to the Planning Commission and also to the board. So that's just going to be coming very soon. But that's the only thing we've heard from a developer here in the recent time.
You have one raised hand, but before any questions for the board for Mark regarding the Prestige?
Is there any other new business, or is that it, Mark?
Well, Warren has his hand raised.
Yeah. Okay, for me to go ahead.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Question for Mark. You had just said that you had sent the plans out to the Planning Commission back in January. You had let the EAC know that you were going to also send the plans out to the EAC when you put them out, but that hasn't been the case in the most recent plans. Is that no longer the case that the EAC is going to be seeing the plans at the same time as the Planning Commission?
No, I think I forgot. So I can send them out to you guys.
Great, thanks.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, Warren, just at this point, it's a sketch plan, so it doesn't have, you know, all the details as a normal plan that we would have, but it gives you an idea of where they want to put things.
Okay.
Okay.
I don't have any other new business. That was all I had.
you have mentioned to me that you are working with our staff on discussing the sewer expansion, right?
Yeah, I had a meeting with, did have a meeting with Carol and Bob Preston, the Hydroterra representative, to get him up to date with the plan and begin the process of, you know, looking at the sewer expansion on Riverside, Fulmer, and Bavington to see what options are, and you know, begin the process of seeing what we can do. Since we had the unfortunate news that we did not get the H2O grant, so we are looking at that and trying to put together a plan. Hope to have something to the board in the next couple of weeks.
Great. Is there any other new business, any of the board members? Okay, so that brings us to public comment. And we do have some hands raised. Mark,
yep.
I think Heidi Brown is first.
Yep.
Hi, I'm Heidi Brown. Actually, this is Heidi and Rob Brown. We live at 214 Ziegler-Ville Road. Let me start off by saying that I find it very ironic that tonight's agenda and meeting was mostly about the environment and the healthy benefits of open space and storm damage. Doesn't seem to be happening in my part of the township. We have an oil spill in my front yard, and we are still waiting for answers. So with that being said, what's the update on the property 204 Ziegler-Ville Road in Ed Hockle? Has he been removed from that home yet? He was given to the 12th to make some rectification, I guess, on the oil from his property. What date will he be removed from his property? He's defecating. He's there's no sewer, no water, no electric. That also, when it rains, is probably flowing into my property. My second question is, how many times has the code enforcement officer been there? Is there a report? When's the last time the code enforcement officer was there? And I want to see that report. What kind of zoning is his property? Is it commercial zoning? Do we know that? Because I know he had businesses that apparently left oil in that building. And did the township know about that? There was a lot of talk about healthy communities and the environment, protected open space. What about my privately owned space? That wasn't protected. Talking about how open space generates economic value. Well, guess what happened to my property value? Every time it rains, that oil is sinking deeper into the ground, and it's going to cost more money to get it up. I have to walk out my door and smell oil fumes. Where else do I go with this? I mean, oh my gosh. Why is this topic not on the agenda? Can somebody tell me why this topic is not on the agenda? Somebody speak.
Yes, this is Chuck Yeiser, chairman of the board. The topic is not on the agenda, I guess, because it was sort of an ongoing situation that Mark has been dealing with, and I apologize for it not being on the agenda tonight. I think
excuse my interruption, but there's a lot of ongoing situations that I sat here and listened tonight that have been on the agenda.
I understand.
I don't think you guys do understand. You don't walk out your door and see your property ruined. And the oil smell, I can't open my windows. And every time it rains, we got to worry about it sinking deeper into our soil. Ed Hockel is still in that house, still pooping in his yard, driving his truck past those signs. And I'm wondering what is going to be done about that. How late, how much longer are you going to wait till there's another situation?
Well, Heidi and Rob, I don't think it's that we're waiting. What I understand, and Mark and Peter, please jump in, but to have somebody removed from their property is a process. And I know Mark has been talking to people, trying to understand that process and how we can approach it. So that's one issue. And I know Mark has been working very closely with the EPA and trying to get them to come onto the property to do further work and assessment.
How much more assessment has to be taken place before somebody starts removing the toxic waste in my front yard?
Okay, Mark, do you have any updates for the Browns?
I'm working with the EPA and DEP, and I am also frustrated with the lack of anything actually happening. I continue to talk to them daily to try to get things moving. They have much more ability to go on to property to do things than the township does. Also working with our code enforcement to begin that process. And we will be sending, you know, out citations tomorrow. But again, that is a process that takes time. And unfortunately, it's not a quick process.
No, it's not a quick process. And I guess I'm frustrated because this isn't something new. That's why I'm wondering how many times that code enforcement officer has been up there and what those reports look like, what was said. This is just, you know, I don't know if you guys need to put more heat on the DEP to get things done.
Mark, would it be at all beneficial if the Browns approached the DEP on themselves? Would that have any impact?
I don't want to speak for them. They've been in regular contact.
We have been.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
Now, this is a township problem and an Ed Hockel problem that turned into our problem. And for us to sit here and listen to this meeting about the concern for the environment, the open space, the flooding, the mulch, to sit through this hour and 45 minute meeting and not one person talked about the oil spill and the smell that's dripping down Zieglerville Road. That's shameful. Shame on you. Is anybody going to say anything?
Yeah, Heidi, Mark was just offline for a minute. I think we were waiting for him to come back.
Sorry about that.
I mean, at this point, all I can tell you is that I know Mark has been working very hard to try to get the EPA to take action on that parcel.
Okay. When does the township step up and start bringing somebody in to start removing the soil?
We can't go on that property without getting Mr. Hockel's permission. Am I correct, Peter and Mark?
Yes, absolutely. And this is not, the environmental issues here are not a township, it's not something townships get involved in. That's why we are waiting for the DEP and EPA. That is their bailiwick at their expertise. The township doesn't have the powers nor the expertise nor the personnel to deal, unfortunately, with the oil spill. And so that's kind of why we're stuck here waiting, you know, for EPA and DEP also to take action on this, because this is something outside of what we normally do and what we have powers to deal with.
Well, there's got to be some way to put the urgency into that, because, you know, I'm going to be honest with you. my thought is, had the proper course been taken place, proper steps been taken place with Ed Hockel and these code violations, this would have never happened. This is not something new. This has been going on for years and years, and I know that the township has known about it. We complained about the extension cords. So this was something that could have been prevented.
Yeah, we're very sorry for what's happened, but there's not one single person on this board who's been on it for more than a year or two, including our manager and our solicitor. So we're sorry for what's happened in the past, and we'll do our best to improve on those things in the future. But that's unfortunately all we can do right now, except is apologize for what happened in the past and hope to do better. But as our solicitor said, there isn't really anything else we can do except trying to facilitate action from EPA.
Yeah, I would like for that to maybe be a priority. I mean, how long is this going to keep going on?
Heidi, I am talking to the EPA and DEP and pushing them as much as I can almost every day. I know it's not quick enough for you. I understand that. Yeah. I completely understand.
But it's kind of like it's kind of like a slap in the face to sit here and not have this even be on the agenda. This is not just, you know, this is affecting the people across the street from me, people down the street from me. Every time it rains, it still drips down the street.
Heidi, you're absolutely right. It should have been on the agenda. And I apologize a second time for that. You're absolutely right.
And I hope it doesn't go until the next meeting. I'm hoping I'll see some more action, but that should be one of the beginning major topics of the agenda.
Well, I have another suggestion. This reminds me a little bit of the situation we had at the sewage plant, which went on for many, many months. And one of the things we agreed to do then was just to provide regular updates on our website and maybe Mark.
No. I don't want regular updates on the website. I want to hear it in a meeting to be discussed about.
Except we don't have another meeting for 2 weeks. I thought you'd like to have more regular updates than.
Well, Mark, I'm sure Mark at this point will be in touch with my husband or I, but I don't want to have to go to a website to look for updates on this.
Well, Peter, it sounds to me like Mr. Hockel at this point is not cooperating with the EPA to let them on site. And so they're faced with a situation where they would have to get some sort of court order to be allowed on site.
I don't know where the status is with the EPA, DEP. And I don't know what their powers are in this situation, whether or not they need to get permission to go on site or whether they can just go on site and take care of the problem.
No, they need to get permission from what I understand. And what I'm asking is, can the township or you or somebody write a letter to the EPA urging them to do whatever's necessary, take the legal action to get on that site so they can do the work that's necessary?
Certainly if the board would like, I think it would be best coming from Mark, and I can work with him in preparing it. But I think a letter stating that the board at a public meeting directed the staff to prepare a letter to the DEP and EPA that this has been taking way too long and that we need them to take immediate action to get on the property and to rectify this ongoing environmental disaster, that would be the proper way of doing it.
And this letter would be then copied to our representatives, both Topol and Mensch.
Yeah, we certainly could do that, yes.
As well as our congressperson.
Yep.
I mean, Heidi, this is the best we can do for you at this point to help you guys try to get some action out of the EPA to do whatever we can. Now, I'm speaking for myself here. If the other board members don't feel like this is the right thing to do, that's fine. But I agree with you. I think at this point, we have to do whatever we can to try to get the EPA to get in there.
Absolutely. We have to move forward. every day that goes by, this ground is getting more polluted. And that's why I find it just kind of, you know, unbelievable of all this talk about the environment that you guys are put so much time and energy in somebody for a presentation. And we have this on my part of the township that nobody seems to even talk about. I don't understand.
I understand what you're saying.
There definitely needs a letter to be drawn up, sent out, and start the removal of Ed Hockle. We need to get this cleaned up, and we need it cleaned up now.
Well, the first step is to allow the EPA to get on the site to do what's needed to get to the bottom of what's going on.
Exactly, because it is going to be a process, and it's got to be, you've got to start it now.
So can I be so as bold to ask Peter and Mark to do that? Is the rest of the, I know we don't normally vote on things, but I don't think we should wait another week that we allow them to write this letter on behalf of our township.
I mean, are there any other, there may be other issues involved. I mean, this is the owner of the
property. Marla, are you kidding me?
He's not.
I'm sorry, excuse me. Can we just talk amongst ourselves for a moment, please? Thank you. I'd like to ask, you know, Peter and Mark, are there any other issues involved before we sort of go ahead and take these actions?
Well, as Heidi said, there's many issues with the property. I think first and foremost is definitely the oil. And I did call, I'm going to say it wrong, Representative Mensch's office to try to get him to push this already. I think definitely we could send a letter to, you know, the representatives at EPA and DEP, and then copy the representatives and senators to try to help push this along. Like I said, I have been working very hard with the EPA and the DEP and have voiced my frustration many times and, you know, voiced my not understanding how this can't be a priority. To get it cleaned up. The EPA, the representative from the EPA is working hard to try to get onto the properties, looking at different options to get onto the properties, looking at, and is talking with a lawyer to get onto the property. Unfortunately, it's just, you know, not as quick as a turnaround as we would like. Sending a letter, you know, just urging for more emphasis to be put on this, I think is, you know, would be fine, and we can get that out to them. But the oil is definitely the number one issue. I mean, it's an environmental issue. The rest of the items that Heidi spoke about, we can also, you know, work on in concurrent with this, but the oil is, you know, the number one issue at the front of this.
Okay.
So is that okay with the group to have that letter go out?
Yes.
Yes, please. Yes.
You have a couple other hands then, and you have Bob. You had Brian Hill, I'm assuming, is the Galaxy 21 first, and then we have Bob, but Warren. Yep.
Brian, are you unmuted?
I'm trying.
Oh.
You have
Heidi has her hand up again too.
Yep. You have Bob, if you go start with him, and then I'll try to get the other guys unmuted.
Who do we have?
Yeah, this is Bob Burns. Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, Bob Burns, Ziegleville Road. Yeah, I want to second what Heidi and Rob are talking about, and I just want to let you guys know that I did start a petition that'll be coming to the Mark prior to the October 6th meeting, I don't have the petition in front of me for the exact wording on it, but what we're asking the Board of Supervisors is to act as soon as possible for health and safety concern reasons and for the environmental concern. As Heidi said, you know, she can't open her windows. It's nice out right now. The fumes over there are terrible. You know, when the wind blows my direction, I can smell it uphill from it. I did meet with about five people in the townhouses directly across the street. They signed a petition as well. You know, they smell it every day. They understand the concerns. And, you know, because of my limited ability right now, you know, for me to get to see three or four people each day is a little difficult. So over the next week and a half, you know, I'll try to see more of those affected residents, you know, right on Ziegleville Road and get their signatures so that we can deliver this to you guys. But I do believe that, you know, the township should try to do everything in its power. And if the township has to incur costs to do the cleanup, that those costs be leaned to the property. And if Mr. Hockle can't pay that, then at such time when the property sold, the township will be reimbursed for whatever cleanup costs. Not really sure how the EPA and DEP, they don't normally do the cleanup. It's usually a cleanup company. And I can tell you from experience, I believe it was back in 2004, when Hevner's spilled oil on my property. Hevner's was notified. They came out, they took care of it. You know, even though it was in the wintertime and the ground was frozen, they were able to encapsulate everything in plastic, which they did. And everything went through the DEP. DEP sent a permit out, you know, to remove the soils from the site to a certified landfill. So, you know, here again, you know, I think the public safety concern right now is the utmost. One thing I didn't think about early on, or I would have been speaking up a lot quicker, was my, you know, where's my well coming from? Am I in the same aquifer as the Browns? And with the elevation difference between the two of us and the depth of my well, along with the neighbor behind me and the neighbor aside of me, we feel that our wells could possibly be in that same aquifer that theirs is in. Now, from the testing that the Browns had so far, it hasn't reached that point. But, you know, how many more rains is it going to take to get to that point? You know, nobody knows whether or not the oil on site is, you know, combined and mixed with Mr. Hockle's septic field. And, you know, if that's going to be leaching in the ground. So, you know, to allow this thing to go this length of time without having anybody put a shovel in the ground to stop this, it's just unconscionable. I can't think of why it's taking this long. I do understand all the hurdles that the township has to go, and it's not the township's fault, you know, as far as the what happened or how it happened, but there's enough complaints over the years of how the property was left and the violations and whatnot that, you know, here again become a concern.
Bob, I appreciate your comments. We all appreciate your comments, and we look forward to getting the petition from you and appreciate you taking the time to do that. We have hands raised still from Brian Hill, Warren, and Heidi Brown. I don't know whether you've had success in...
Warren, you can get, and then Heidi. I'm having problems with Brian. Go ahead with Warren.
I just want to say I agree with what Marla said, that it'd be really nice to have regular updates on the website. I realize where Heidi's coming from. She probably feels that she would like to have, you know, personal contact rather than, you know, have to look at the website. But the rest of us in the community care about this too, and we would really like to know what's going on, and it's really good to have communication.
All right. Thank you, Warren. Heidi?
Hold on, I lost her. Hold on a second. Don't know what happened there. There, Heidi's back.
Yeah, no, actually, this is her husband, Robert. I was trying to add to Heidi's, and we actually lost connection there a few minutes ago. The only thing I wanted to add to it was one of my other concerns is the the unknown, meaning, the initial evening that the oil release was discovered, the 28th, the Friday night, we had had a pretty decent rain that afternoon. It was two nights after the fire. So I'm assuming the heavy rain we had that day is what lifted the oil up or pushed it out of the foundation. We haven't had much rain to speak of since then. My concern is when we get another couple inches of rain in a storm, will we see another 200 or 300 gallons going down Ziegler-Ville Road? That's one of my other concerns that really hasn't been talked about. We don't know if I have 200 gallons on my front yard or 150. We know there was two 275 gallon tanks in that basement. Mm-hmm. It could have been half full. It could have been full. We don't know what's left in there and still to come, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
So. Rob, that's what the EPA is trying to get on site to make that determination. That's the immediate thing I think that we all feel, mm-hmm. me personally, needs to happen right away. Am I correct, Mark? That was
part of their plan. We were out on Friday with Tetra Tech, who is their, who the EPA is looking to hire to put the plan together to do an assessment, and that is in progress to get a company hired. Bob is correct. The EPA and the DEP don't actually do any of the cleanup. It would be a local environmental cleanup company. There's a couple out there that regularly get these types of jobs.
But I mean, had Mr. Hockel given his consent on Friday, yeah, they would have had somebody on site within the next few days.
I hope to do that pretty quickly. No, it still takes a little time there in the process of putting that together.
So what they would do, Rob, the hope is that they get on, I should say the hope, the intention is they get on site and they can do limited excavation to access those oil tanks and see what's going on. As that's the for right. starters.
Yeah, right. And the hope right. was also to work the side of the yard towards the grounds to make sure that it's, you know, they know the only area that it's coming out.
Right. Okay.
So they're still working on that and trying to get that figured out.
So we have Brian Hill.
Yep. Yeah, Brian.
Hey, good evening. This is Brian Hill, 11 Ziegler Road. First of all, I'd like to make the first comment is that we do need to change the topic setting of the agenda to make this Q&A not public comment, since this has become more of a Q&A session. So I'd recommend that. And secondly, I'd like to bring to the attention of the township the issues with the new homes being built. Many of the homes have rear doors that are at least 15 feet off the ground. There is no protection for anyone, particularly children, who tend to go down to those areas and play. We lost a young child in the Cedar Hill complex when that was being built almost 20, 25 years ago. And so I would ask that you would address those open doors as areas such that someone couldn't fall out and become very seriously injured. I'd also like to comment on one of the agenda items tonight, particularly with regard to the open space. This referendum on the ballot is just an open door for more taxes. We're in a very difficult time in our economy for other people to continue to open their pockets up and contribute more money in taxes. I think this also opens the door for townships to begin to open more opportunities for taxes. So I would be cautious as people consider their decision on the referendum. As regards to the health benefits of open space, we all like open space. I moved out in this area because I like the country setting. But open space and improved health is kind of a farce. Diabetes, obesity continues to rise, and we continue to open more and more health exercise places, and I don't see the health benefit of that. So if open space is going to do something different, I'd say that's kind of you're kind of reaching. And the people that use those open spaces, such as trails and such, it's the same people over and over again. So it's not new people that tend to use these areas. So again, I would caution us as we decide on open space. I would say that we want to look at things that are already current, and that's the infrastructure that we are needing, such as these items for the manhole covers. That's infrastructure. That makes sense. Open space, everyone likes it, but at what cost? And so okay. We have quite a bit of open space. We have new developments are coming in that are bringing open space. So again, let's put it on those people. And I'd really ask people to consider the choice, like open space, but at whose cost is the question. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Brian. I do have one quick question though, follow up on you. These open doors on the Arcadia Station homes, the ones that are dropped to nowhere.
Sorry about that. I'm out playing miniature golf right now. So.
Okay. Well, the problem with those doors is because maybe a balcony or a deck hasn't been built yet. Is that the situation you're
referring
to?
That's correct. Absolutely. Okay. Yeah. So if you go into those homes, every one of them along the new drive up the hill there, every one of them has either a sliding door on it with no balcony, no barrier, or no sliding door and a wide open door space. And so, again, we had the child lost in Cedar Hill due to a basement set of stairs not being placed. And the child fell down through the opening and was killed on the site. So we got, you know, we got a lot of kids around there. Obviously, that neighborhood is bringing a lot of young children in. So, again, I think we need them to make sure that those areas are safe.
Great. Okay. Thank you, Brian.
Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions from the public? Hearing none.
I have nothing, Chuck.
Okay. Motion to adjourn.
I so move.
Second.
Hey.
Oh, is that a comment?
I think he just forgot to mute.
No, I got.
All right. Well, Mark is fielding that. I do want to announce that we are having a special presentation on Monday night, right? Where is it? It should be on your agenda there, Mark.
Yep. All right.
We are having
Monday, September 28th at 7:30 p.m. on Zoom. The EAC will be hosting a program on how and why to cherish your on-lot septic systems. So the Zoom invite will be on the website, and it's on Facebook. We've put it out on Facebook, and we'll put it out again on Facebook for everyone to join. And then you have Mr. Burns. I wanted to make another comment.
Okay.
Yeah, can you guys hear me?
Yes, Bob.
Yeah, Bob Burns, Zieglerville Road. Question about our ordinances and some of the updates that we need. From listening to what Mark said earlier about Prestige, and they would be coming in and looking for maybe some information from the board for the neighborhood lotting. I think there's some areas in our ordinance that we want to tighten up prior to them getting, a final approval situation. And I was hoping that in, these next few meetings that we have that we could discuss in the workshop meetings, because that's where you guys want to talk about it, is, updating a few of these particular concerns. So I just wanted to bring that to your attention before you adjourned.
Okay. Well, I think, sometimes the concerns are raised, they come from a variety of ways. One of them, sometimes they come out of the planning commission and then they, get brought up to the board. So, but I hear what you're saying. I think we are all aware that we need to make some changes.
Okay, thank you.
Yep. Okay. Get another, Marla, make another motion
to adjourn?
I move to adjourn.
Can I get a second?
Second.
Terry.
Or Terry got
it. Give it to Terry.
Give it to Terry.
Terry for a second. There you go. All in favor, say aye.
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 Great. Thank you very much, everybody. Good night.
Good night.
Good night, everybody.